Casper, and I'm interviewing Gerald Polson and
Marilyn.
And Marilyn Polson, March
7th, 2011. Oh, too many papers.
Yeah. I just got a few notes from that I saw for good stuff.
Okay.
Yes.
When and where were you born?
July 16th, 1933.
Okay. And where are you currently living now, and how did you get there?
I'm living 7486, which is just across the street. We got a farm in Chafee Road.
Okay, and tell me a little bit about the community.
Well, it's a lot bigger than it used to be. And it's mostly, used to be all farms years ago, where people had a small place. Now we're about the only farm left. And we got a lot of nice people that have moved out here, and but thankfully it's slowing down a little bit as far as developing, and it's a good community. As we deal with a lot of people. We grow sweet corn, and we have a roadside stand. We used to have dairy cattle. Up until 1990, yeah. And I was born in the farmhouse in 33. Now, how many people can say that?
That's very interesting.
Literally, in the house.
And what is special about the location of your farm?
Well, it's where my grandfather and father grew up. And it's our business.
But it's good for it because of the traffic pattern now.
Okay. And did you learn how to farm from them?
Oh, you started doing things as big as you could stand up. You could, I think I learned how to milk cows at 6 years old. I mean, not a whole lot, but I mean I could milk cows.
Do you have a special memory of learning to farm?
Of learning, through the years of dealing with the animals, we had dairy cattle, and you got, sort of attached to them. I think they got me a pony when I was pretty.
We had a couple workhorses.
We had a couple workhorses. Learned how to drive those, and that was probably one of my fondest memories as the horses. And in the day where you got all these tractors, we don't have many modern tractors. We have some tractors that's is in the 50s.
Okay, and you said that you don't raise dairy cows anymore.
Not anymore.
Why did you stop?
Well, it was the price of milk was going way down, and I was getting, too much work. It was a 24-hour plus job, and
365 days a year, Christmas,
yep.
New Year's, nothing off.
And it's just something that you grew out of, but we're still doing sweet corn.
Okay. And how many acres do you have?
We have 13 in Sagamore Hills.
Yeah,
and got another 20 acres in Brecksville, and we had 130 acres at one time, but when my father passed away, we had to sell a lot of it off for the estate taxes. We never had any loans or any borrowed any money, but the estate taxes are real high, so we had to sell some of our land.
And, what sort of work do you do?
Just farming.
Sweet corn.
Plowing fields and planting them, and selling sweet corn and in the summer, and we bale a little hay, not much, but.
And why do you grow sweet corn?
Mostly in Sagamore Hills, and
the money's good.
And why do we grow it?
Yeah.
Oh, I misunderstood you. Well, we know it, and people expect us to be there.
Okay, and is there an advantage to growing these crops in Ohio?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You got, it's a good state.
Okay.
and
it's seasonal.
It's seasonal.
People
yeah.
love fresh sweet corn.
Yeah, and we run into people in the stores and ask us when we're going to start going here.
Yeah.
You know, it's unusual.
We've traveled out west and we've had people come up to us with where are you located. Oh, I've been there.
And are there any historic buildings on your property?
The barn.
The barn. It was built in the Civil War time.
Yeah, 1863 is what his dad told me.
My nephew, he bought that from the estate, but I still use it and everything.
How do you use it?
Storing hay, and it has to be remodeled.
Yeah, we put a new roof on it,
and it's a lot of history there.
Yeah,
and there's not many old barns left around here.
And what about your house?
We built that in
57. Yeah,
and built that up. My dad and I built that ourselves. And in fact, we tore down a barn in Macedonia and used some of the rough lumber to build it. And then we used paneling to do the rest of it.
What was that like, building your own house?
A lot of hard work. And
never do it again.
No, I had, I think... it got to the point where I had migraine headaches 24 hours a day. I mean, I shouldn't tell you that.
Well, I had two kids, and we were in the house 2 days when I had my third boy.
So, I mean, I'm all right now, but it was hard then.
Yeah.
So how do you grow your crops? Methods, technology?
Well, it's just the old-time methods of plowing and planting it with a four-row corn planter. And cultivating it, you know, like you did 40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and hand picking it for the people.
And how do you sell your corn?
Roadside stand.
Yeah, and we get like assortment of prices. Right now, we've been selling for what, $5.50 a dozen. But when we started, I'll tell you about the first field we ever grew. She was raised in the Cauga Valley. And they had 5 acres of ground. And when we first got married, we were going to have our first baby. Why, we didn't have much money. I mean, yeah. I mean, you
and
have
no
to.
No insurance.
And we planted a field of corn by the river, and. We sold that on the road. That was our first field. We got back then you sold it for 35 cents a dozen or 3 dozen for a dollar. And we made enough out of that field to pay for our first son.
$400.
We paid cash at St. Luke's Hospital in Cleveland. And he couldn't believe we didn't pay cash.
Well, you know what he did. He said he went to pay, and he said, it was all crumpled. And he said, I just grabbed a handful. And this girl said, I wish I could grab a handful.
I mean, I was young then, didn't know much.
And he didn't know how to work the self-service elevator.
I got caught in the elevator and couldn't get out. I didn't know what an elevator was.
And who are your customers, and what kind of relationship do you have with them?
Well, pretty good. Pretty good. I try to sell a good product, and
we have people coming back year after year.
Yeah,
and you get acquainted with them, and 99% of them are very nice people.
Very nice people,
you get someone occasionally.
Well, very few.
Very few. Yeah,
I'll give them extra sometime, you know.
Yeah.
And once I did a few times where people didn't have any money, I give them free corn.
Yeah.
And
we don't care.
And there's always. You always have odds and ends left at the end of the day. Well, I'll usually give that away to somebody. And
we had to dig through the back of the pickup truck, the stuff we were going to throw out. Hey, whatever you can find, go ahead and take it.
Take it, yeah. So you have to treat your people the best way you can.
Is there a market for your products?
Yeah. Plus, we sold milk from the dairy cattle to Lawson's Milk Company in Akron, and that was our main business. For sweet corn has got...
Since 1990, the sweet corn's been our main business.
And it was... sweet corn was just a sideline, you know, up until then. But we usually grew it from July to middle of September.
Is your farm successful?
Yes, oh, yeah. Very successful.
Do you get any government assistance like tax breaks or subsidies?
No. Never have taken no money at all from the government.
And how is the growing deer problem affecting your crops?
Terrible. Terrible. That and the birds.
The 20 acres, we can no longer grow sweet corn there.
In Brooksville.
National Park here, and you've got the Metro Park. So you can't control them.
We can go over there. We can go over there in the summertime when the corn or the hay is growing. That's what we have over there. You can count up to 100 deer in the field. Not once, but many times.
Have you done anything about the deer?
You can't do anything. You can't do anything. We can't fence it. It would cost too much. Our parcel is like this table. It's rectangular, and it's long. It would take more money than it would.
You can bow hunt, but you got to get pretty close to it. You're not going to control.
The city of Brecksville gives me a bow permit, but if you can get two or three a year, you're lucky. That's in the season. There's more of them get run over on the roads over there than anything else.
What's the biggest change you've seen in the valley?
Well, one thing we saw as we rented some land in the valley for a while, the river comes out of its banks super fast. Probably one of my long experiences I've never forgot is we had neeses there that one year. In 1978, we had it in corn, was picking it, and it was a time where there was a big storm.
It was good.
In Akron and Manaway, because the Cauga River, I shouldn't use my hands up here like this.
You know how it is. Comes around.
Took a river, bends around in east of here and swings through Akron, comes down. And the only time I ever left a tractor near the river was we was filling silo at home for corn for the cows. And I never got down there that night to move it up by the road where I usually do. And her brother called me in the morning. He says, "Hey," he says, "you got your tractor out of that field, don't you?" I says, "No." So, man, he says, "It's coming up fast." So I roared down there with a pickup. I could get down there, down the towpath, and got the tractor started. And the river was coming up like you would take a bathtub and watch the water come up. And I got it started, and it was going through the field trying to get up on a high spot, and the tractor was going to go under a low spot in the field. So I figured I better just bail off and try and get out. Well, I made it out, but just barely. I had...
You can't swim a stroke.
I can't swim. And the corn stalks, you know, when the water gets in, they go all which ways. So that was fighting you, and I finally kicked the boots off. But I made it out just barely. I mean, in fact, I'm lucky that I'm here today.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to be realistic.
I was at work. I was going to
She
work.
Was at work.
So I was
at and, work. But that was a very scary moment in my life. And
the birds.
And we have a lot of problems with the birds.
The birds and the raccoons.
And the raccoons. I don't know what's taking place in the bird groups.
Yeah.
This year there was the red-winged blackbirds are coming in flocks behind the corn stand. I had sweet corn there, and we would scare them, you know, shoot to scare them. They turn right around and come back, and it finally kept them out of the corn with a minimum of damage. The deer this year moved right into the field. I didn't realize it at the time. They had spots where they were living in there. I'm sorry. Hopefully, you can't scare them hard enough to do any good.
You drive the tractor and here's this whole big area.
It's flatted down, where they've been bedded down
where
in
they've
there.
They've been bedded down right in the middle of the corn. You couldn't see it.
And I don't know what the answer is. You know, there's so many of them. And
the only answer is natural disease, and I doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. And
you don't want to see that either.
No, I mean, it's one of those things that you put. I put scarecrows in the field. I'll put aluminum pie tins that the wind blows around. They get used to them, and we try to coexist with them. Let's put it that way. And Division of Wildlife, they'll on your own private land. They'll give you permits to shoot some of them, but I haven't used that for a long time.
Yeah, it's 90 degrees. You're going to go out there and shoot a deer, and what are you going to do with it?
And the ones we did, we donated to needy people. I have people coming up every year down there. Say, hey, could you give us some deer meat for my kids? I mean, it's just terrible what's going on in the population today.
Yeah.
And I haven't did that for a long time.
And what has been your biggest challenge in farming?
Making enough money to go to next year.
Yeah, the animals are probably the biggest challenge.
Animals and
one of the biggest.
And trying to get enough energy.
The raising fuel prices.
Yeah, that's you do that. When he had the horses, didn't have to worry about that. whatever we use older equipment. Tractors a day are $100,000. Well, some of mine probably is only worth $2,000 or $3,000, if that.
Why do you use older tractors?
Pardon?
Why do you use older tractors? You
can't afford new
ones. Afford new ones. I mean,
we don't make enough, you know, and we don't want
the newer ones got no computers in them. We know some other people that have modern ones. And they've had. When you have a computer problem in a tractor, it's a very costly one. And
we know a man with a Cat Challenger. He loaned it out, had a problem, had to take it. It cost him $30,000 to fix it.
Yeah, one with tracks on. And
there's tracks that go like this.
Plus, I've got my boys are good mechanics. The one rebuilt my one tractor with diesel engine, and he saved us a lot. And my boys help us a lot behind the scenes.
So your son's helping the family business?
To repair.
To repair. They don't work. I mean,
Mike will help.
Yeah, him. Yeah. They'll help me if I need them. Yeah.
So your sons are not farmers?
No. They work. The one boy works for the city of Brecksville in the service department. The youngest one and.
Mike's work at a
body shop in Twinsburg, and
Jer works at Allega.
He works at Allega Construction. He runs their paving machine, and my daughter, she helped us when she was here.
Yeah, she helps sell, but she's married and lives in Cape Coral, Florida.
And she's a doctor.
Yeah, she's got her doctorate in nursing.
Did you ever want your kids to follow in your footsteps?
No, because we wasn't big enough to support them, for the farm to support them. And I wanted them to get
a vocation
on something else. They help us. They all help me when it's possible.
Okay. And what's the most important lesson you've learned in farming?
Be frugal and don't spend any more money than you have to.
That's probably sum it up.
Yeah.
And
you never know what's going to happen, so you got to have something.
You have to make sacrifices when you're you in your own business.
And how did you learn this?
Just from time over my parents, and my grandparents were on the farm before us, and I learned
and
from
four children.
We had four kids, and we. You just sort of learn, by day by day, not doing anything stupid. I mean, I don't know. You probably heard this.
Don't use your credit cards any more than you have to.
Yeah, drive older vehicles.
Yeah, we've always driven older vehicles.
Are there any special lessons you've learned from your parents or grandparents?
Yeah, a lot of things you take for granted. You know, how to treat your animals, how you treat your, you know, cows. And
cows came first.
Cows came first, and
because we had a spring for many years for water. We now have city water. But we had a spring for many years, and the cows, and it came down into the barn. And there were many a time we were hauling water in a milk can, but the cows came first because that was your money.
And but getting back to the fields just for a second, when I was young and we grew corn, my dad always says, well, leave 8 or 10 rows around the field for the deer. Now they maybe leave us 8 or 10 rows. That's a true story.
That's true. And at one time, the raccoons, I can remember I was driving the tractor and we had to go 8 rows in before we were getting any corn. Every night there would be one less row.
And how do you survive in a world of factory farms?
That's hard to explain. Now,
produce.
Our sweet corn is our main business anymore, and we can sell it for whatever we want. Nobody tells us what we have to sell it for.
The people enjoy coming to a place where they can see the corn growing.
And
so it's a lot of it has to do with the way the people are. They would rather come to our place, for instance, than go in.
Because they can walk the kids into the field of corn.
And we've had people come in and say, could I take my daughter or my son back? They've never seen the corn grow. I want to show them.
I'll let them go in there.
And we'll let them go in. If they want to pick an ear of corn or 2 ears, that's fine.
Yeah.
We do grow some pumpkins also.
Not many, but a few.
Not many, but we do.
And so you have to try and take care of the public the best you can.
Yeah.
And we're not...
And they've taken care of us.
Yeah. We're not a big operation, but I don't know. Are you familiar with the area?
No. She's from North Olmsted.
Yeah. And but we've had... we've lost a lot of farmland. I've got farmland now that I could farm on private property that the deer just destroy it right close to home. And I planted one field down the road this year. Okay. To people. They said, well, you know, Wilp, they didn't want it. They're growing up in the weeds. So they plowed it, worked it up, and I planted it. And we got a couple good days of corn out of it. For some reason, the deer didn't bother it. So how, it's one of those mysteries.
The weeds were so bad, I don't think they could find it.
Well, we didn't, the weeds came in pretty good, but still got some nice corn out of it.
Yeah, we did.
So people would rather see their property tilled than let it grow up in trees and brush. And... that's there is land that you can plant, but you know it's doesn't pay to fence it. Fencing costs a lot of money, and these deer are very creative. They'll crawl under fences, you'll jump over them, and I don't know if you've heard that before from many farmers, but it's a big problem. And I tell you, I used to. We have a pickup truck camper. In Brecksville, when I was farming over there, it growing corn over there, I used to take the truck and camper in the middle of the field, take my half lab and half golden retriever, she sleep with me, and I would get up every half hour, shine a light, and if we seen the deer, I would say, Sam, go get him. She would go out, just run the deer into the woods, turn right around, come back, get back in a camper, and we'd go to sleep again. I mean, a great dog.
We just had to have her put
down.
Yeah,
she was 17 and a half.
She was 17 and a half years of age.
Have you always had dogs?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a beagle now.
Yeah.
She's not with us today. We left her home.
She's not with us. We left her.
Yeah, we've always had
but
dogs.
But he's also hunted raccoon in his past, and so we've always had hunting dogs, too.
When I was younger, I used to hunt raccoon. I had dogs.
You made a lot of money.
Yeah, we got and got rid of some of the problems. And today, well, I'm getting older, and it's not, I don't have the energy to do it. And but there was a time it was like $20 a piece.
Yeah.
And
take them into the fur buyer. One year he made $1,000.
Interesting story. When 271 opened up, we took a ride on a Sunday.
Oh gosh, yeah.
With the camper, and where the Coliseum used to be over in Richfield. We was going along there, and I told Marilyn, I says, there's a gray fox laying, must have got hit with a car, but it's off the road, and we couldn't get off the road with the camper.
Watch
so we come
home.
We come home and got the Jeep and drove in there and picked it up, took it out the fur buyer the next day and got $40.
So these animals you hunted would be sold for their fur?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
What kinds of things were made?
All coats. It was raccoon fur is a good, durable fur coats. I mean, we maybe got 30 a year, 40 something like that.
Yeah.
And it was. I haven't did that for a number of years.
How did you hunt the raccoons?
With a dog would run them up a tree and you shoot them out with a 22. I don't know what you want to hear stuff like that. On private land, not on parkland. That was before the national park was even here.
Yeah.
Do people still hunt in the area?
Some,
deer.
Some. And it's most of the people go south of us a little bit, you know. And
we've now got turkeys.
We have wild turkeys here now, too.
That's fun to see.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
Yeah. And we take pictures and stuff like that of them. Mm. But in Brexel, we got a lot of turkeys. I don't know whether you know that or not.
Yeah.
So the turkeys are new?
Yeah.
Within the last 5 years.
Five years. And
they were south of here, and they finally worked their way up.
Yeah. We got some pretty good flocks, but they don't hurt anything. I can say that. They don't hurt anything in my fields.
If we had corn there, I couldn't tell you.
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether to do or not. But we used to, when my dad, in our heyday, we farmed between 300 and 400 acres. Down the road here in 82, where the funeral home in Marks is down here, we farmed all that at one time. And on Boyden Road, we farmed
Carter
that.
Carter Road.
We had
another farm we farmed down at the end of Shavey.
Yeah, yeah. Obbles. Where the vet, I mean, you're not familiar with the area, are you?
But there's a vet that he has the property now. Well,
and
his wife and
him. There was like, was there about 80 acres there, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we farmed quite a bit.
Yeah, and
most of that was sweet corn or field corn.
Field corn. And but when you get a little older, you just don't have the energy to do all this.
Can you describe a typical day for me during harvest season?
We're up about daylight, picking sweet corn. We hand pick a lot of it.
We do have a picker.
We have a mechanical picker. If conditions are right, it picks one row at a time and does a really good job. And
but it has to be sorted. So
you have to sort it, make sure that, you know, there are small ears. It picks everything out of the field. And,
so he and I sort it.
Yeah. And it's a lot of work. I mean, I don't think most people would believe what you have to do.
And most of the time, if he's got a hand pick, I drive the tractor. And he picks it. And fortunately, on weekends, my one son helps.
And how is the corn sorted?
By hand.
By hand.
What different categories do you put corn into?
Well, if they're too small, you toss them.
Yeah, you got two sizes.
Now, if they're good, we will sell that at a reduced price. We'll put it like in a bag and say there might be 20 years, and sometimes we don't know how many years are in there, but okay, $2 for the bag.
And
we tell them what it is. It could be maybe the birds pick the end. All you have to do is chop the end off. It doesn't hurt it. And,
But,
welcome to it.
Yeah, it sort of gets in your blood. I mean, you know, we been doing it for so long.
It keeps you young.
So what's a typical day during planting season?
Well, first thing you got to look at the weather. And anymore, some years here you only get maybe a day or a half a day to get something done. So you got to be careful and not plow too much ahead of time so that you can get it fit up and get it planted. And it usually takes probably a whole day, maybe a day to plow it and to...
Yeah, and then you got to run the disc through.
And fit it up real good, yeah. Make it nice and saleable. And then some days if it's real good and you're not going to plant a big chunk, you can do it all in one day. My son will help us,
yeah.
You know, run
if
the tractor.
On a weekend, he helps
on a weekend, why he'll help.
Because he can lift the fertilizer.
But it's a... everything doesn't break. You know what I mean? Because...
Yeah,
you can have big
thing.
Plans to do a lot of things, and maybe something breaks. So then you have to fix it that day, and you have to do it the next.
Yeah.
But
so, what time of year do you start planting?
Around the 2nd of May.
Yeah,
or 2nd of May. And
sometimes, if we're lucky, the end of April.
But I don't doubt if it'll take place in April this year, the way the weather's going here.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask, what time is harvest time?
Usually.
Anywhere from the 10th to the 16th of July.
Yeah. This year, when did we start?
Oh, we started, the 9th? No,
yeah.
No.
Day after the 4th.
The day after the 4th.
Day after the 4th.
That's unusual.
Yeah. And
very unusual.
It was a good growing season this year.
It also ended early, too.
It ended early.
So
and
you get maybe a couple months, 2.5 months.
Yeah. But you usually see some things you've never seen before. I mean, you know, it's just a business like that. And
so what are you doing at this time of year?
Relax.
usually
we go to Florida to see my daughter, but my son has gotten cancer, and it's a good prognosis. And we just didn't feel at ease going down there with him.
Yeah,
because
he's
radiation.
He's got to get the last 5 treatments this week.
Yeah, and he's had chemo, and he's had a really tough time with it.
And
so we don't feel, and he might need some financial help. So
we don't want to go down there for a couple of weeks. My daughter would like to have us come down all winter.
Yeah.
She lives in Fort Myers. And, but
most of the time we relax. We'll go to Florida maybe for 2 or 3 weeks or a month.
Plus, in the fall after sweet corn, we take a trip to Wyoming.
And we go to Wyoming, we go there for 2 or 3 weeks. He hunts mule deer, but that takes about a day, and then we travel.
Yeah, and we've been doing that for 40 years.
Then we went to a sapphire mine last year with my son-in-law and daughter.
So, I mean, we're not on a farm. I mean, we do take vacation.
Yeah.
You got to get away.
And those vacations are usually during, the winter?
Oh, well, fall.
Fall.
Say late spring.
Late spring. And
During when we had the cows, of course, we had other help, too, at that time. His nephew was on the farm.
I was on a farm. What was you on for 15 years?
We were married 15 years before we ever took a vacation.
We never took a vacation for 15 years. And I told my wife, I said, we think life's passing us up. So then was talking about, we always knew that the West was a nice place. And so we figured, we're going to.
No, he applied for a license up there.
Yeah, applied for a license and, just to get an excuse to go. And so we got a license at this one's place, one part of the state. They have different parts of the state for different seasons. And so the first year she drove the truck and the trailer, 26-foot trailer.
And 3 out of my 4 kids went with me.
Yeah. And I...
went out to Medicine Bow, Wyoming.
And I went, I worked on sweet corn here, and then I flew from Hopkins to Denver, and she picked me up.
I scouted areas for him. I found the area for him to hunt.
And
we've been going
out there ever since. But we have some people that we know that have a big ranch in Buffalo, Wyoming.
Well, for years, I used to, when we had the truck camper, I would go out. He would fly out to Denver, and I would drop down to Denver and pick him up. And that's how we did it for years, because of the cows.
So I,
you know,
so they could get along without me for a while at home. But, yeah, I'm glad we did it. Now I got no doubt, you know.
No regrets on that.
And this year my daughter and son-in-law come out, and we went into Montana, went to Glacier National Park, and...
A couple sapphire mines
where you can go and you
it, be careful.
Yeah, you get a big bag of material.
Get a pail for what, $15, and then you take it, and they've got a screen. They got like a sluice. You put that in there and you shake it around, you know, and then you bring it to this table, squeeze out, and then dump it over, and then you go through it. That's how they.
She found a ruby, yeah. And.
We found several sapphires.
Three
of them were, they sent yeah. over, my daughter sent overseas to get them.
You know, processed. So
it'll be about a year before we
did it. We did some other stuff other than farming.
Yeah.
And what is the goal of your farm, and how are you accomplishing it?
Just
keep going.
Keep going, and, you know, we've never borrowed no money on it. We put... the stuff we got in a trust fund for our kids.
Yeah.
And
hopefully they will they'll either carry on or at least farm it in some capacity after we're gone.
So what do you want your legacy to be?
We survived in the business and proved that you can do it. There's not many farmers left today.
No,
you know, it's going to be a crisis in this company, I'm sure, in the future, because...
Well, we farmed and we stuck to it.
Yeah, because there's times...
It was pretty hard.
There's times we didn't have no money. I mean, when we first got married...
I would use a Penny's card
to buy
my kids'
We didn't... Or
a Sears card.
And,
for years.
We was helped by our parents, you know, and everything like that. And
it was a different time at a different age.
Yeah,
we didn't have babysitters. They would watch them. My mom lived... a mile and a half away, and his mom and dad lived next door.
Yeah, our parents, they helped us a lot.
They helped us a lot.
Yeah.
So would you encourage people to go into farming?
Well, yeah. It's a good life.
It's a
good life.
Dairy farming.
It's
but it is a good life.
There's a lot of people today working a full-time job and still doing farming on the side.
It's a good way to raise kids.
Good way.
They all know how to work, number one. They can do most anything. And I can remember my oldest son saying, you know, he says, we were never bored. They weren't in the house. They were outside all the time.
And that's the big thing.
It's a good way.
Kids don't have nothing to do today. They're watching computers. You go down the road and around here, and most typical town, there's no kids out in the yard playing no more.
The only way I know there's any children, if I follow the school bus and I see the kids get off, well, there are kids. Because you don't get them at Halloween either, so you don't know. You never see them.
So you said that farming is a good life.
It is.
Why is it a good life?
Well, you're working. You're working outside, and you're getting out of it what you're putting in it. And we've had years where we didn't do real good because of weather conditions or stuff like that.
That's the reason you're
frugal. And
the
main thing is to watch how you spend your money. The price of tractors today, I mean, are outrageous. Automobiles, you know, trucks and everything, you know. So you keep your cash out for us at a minimum.
So you said you get a lot out of farming. What do you get out of it?
Satisfaction. satisfaction and...
An accomplishment.
Accomplishment. I mean,
you know, it's like anybody even growing flowers or something, they enjoy seeing.
And
that's a lot
it's nice to walk out in your fields and watch them come up and watch them grow. Sometimes it's irritating because maybe they don't do just good, but it's a rewarding business. And like I say, you'd have to be in it to actually understand it. And I wouldn't want to go back and do it any other way. And being born at home, I was from day one. I didn't know anything other than that. You know,
and your own boss.
Your own boss.
That's another thing.
And
you're only accountable to yourself and the good Lord above.
And
that's all you got.
So I wouldn't want to do it any other way. And I got 4 good kids. And
that's another thing. We never had any problems with our kids.
They learned how to work. They appreciate it now.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of kids come and help us. That farm was a magnet for young kids.
Yeah.
And that was always rewarding. They always had a great time on that farm, and they would help.
And they come up today and talk. He said, you know, we used to come there.
I can't believe how many kids used to help us. They'd come up and say, oh, I remember this. And I thought, oh, my God, I forgot this.
Well, just for example, we bale the hay. Well, maybe the little kids would roll the hay together so you didn't have to walk so far.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, just for something to do.
Yeah.
And
And his sister lives a couple doors up. She now lives in Pennsylvania, but she had 5 boys. And it kept them busy.
And
which helps.
If you're raising like 5 boys, you got to have something to keep busy. And they were doing something on the farm all the time.
And they learn how to drive. That's another thing. We didn't have to worry about that because, you know, when they got to a certain age, we let them drive in the field with the pickup truck.
Yeah.
So they learn safety. That's another thing.
You learn safety, how to be safe.
So given a choice, you would still go into farming?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yep. And I don't know in the future whether it's too many kids are going to have that opportunity, but...
Well, you know, we used to have nursery school kids come.
Yeah.
And the teacher would tell us, you know, some of them haven't seen a cow. And they would come to bring them down, and they would go through. We had one little kid. He was so funny. And, you know, it doesn't smell great in a barn. And the cows weren't out yet. And they were going to take his picture, and this kid's going like this. And they said, well, you know, don't do that. So he'd go like this. I'll never forget that. He was so funny.
But, we had mixed emotions when we sold the cows at last, but you know, you have to,
I took video. No one
yeah, we got video,
video
of it. And, the whole thing is you got attached to the animals. I think probably, it was a sad day, you know, when we got rid of them.
But the regulations, that's another thing that kind of drove us out.
Yeah.
Getting tighter and tighter in regulation.
Yes, it's hard on the new people,
we
too.
We had
that's
to put,
in
what, some kind of a water system in.
Yeah.
We had spring water, but that wasn't good enough. You had to put some type of a filter and that kind of stuff in. And then, well, then you have to rope off the manure. And now, of course, they have to put it in a tank or something. You know,
yeah,
we used to spread it for
but,
fertilizer.
But we had, like, a few of these brown Swiss at last. You know,
they're really
sweet cattle. I mean, they were...
When they're born, they look like a deer.
They were real easygoing. And
yeah.
We had one there that she had a little arthritis. So what we do, we put her a little collar on her and a chain and would tie her out around the barn in the yard. And she would eat the grass.
Yeah.
And then we'd move her to another section the
next
day. I got
a picture of 3 kids sitting on her back. She was such a gentle thing.
And those are the things that, you know, you miss.
Yeah.
And
vehicles. Me and the kids would stay for dessert.
But, yeah, and it was a...
Now, I was not born a farmer. I was raised in Calgary.
Oh, yeah, she's a city girl.
But in 1939, my dad bought the property in the valley where the park is now. He used to hunt down there, and the lady that had it told him that when she sold it, the only person she would sell it to was him, because she knew that he would take care of it. Well, there was a Lock Tinder's cabin down there, That's where we stayed on the weekends, and then we moved. So, I mean, I was pretty well raised in that valley.
So what is your relationship with the park?
Well, actually, it's a good relationship.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no. They end up taking her parents' property, you know.
There's some bitterness there, as far as we're concerned, in a lot of ways.
But in the long run,
now we've got a good relationship with them.
Yeah, really, we leased some land in three places at Brecksville, and
and I'm not talking the beginning. Now I think they try their best, you know, to make you happy with different things. You know,
it was
solve the deer problem, but you know.
you've got different people running it now. When
their attitudes change.
When Superintendent Bertzel, you know, he wasn't too well liked by a lot of people for whatever reasons. But the people you got today, they're very helpful. I mean, I have to thank them for giving me the opportunity to lease some of the ground, you know. It's probably if I could plant it and have anything left, I'd probably be interested in doing some more again. But, you know, it's depressing to plant a field and go down there and see the deer and they're chowing it up, and you sit there and you can't do nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's depressing.
Well, we're getting to an age where we can't chase.
And
years ago it was one thing, but now.
It's every pretty hard today. And but are we over our time?
Not at all.
They've been a good thing.
Well, right behind us, our own house, they butt right up against us. If they weren't there, we'd have houses.
So it's right in our backyard, practically. And they've been a big plus to the area. There's some people that aren't happy, but it's like any place, you know.
I have a lot of bitterness towards them, but that's from a long time ago.
Well, let's see her parents taking her land, taking her place where she lived, you know.
Well, my father was promised scenic easements, and that wasn't because he wanted us kids to have it. So that didn't take place.
And forced
to sell.
The comparable was a
brick house. They did comparables back then. My dad and mom had a log cabin, four bedrooms, 5 acres of land, an unattached garage. Beautiful, and there was a lock tender's cabin. They compared it to a house at the corner of Chafee and Route 82, which is just a double house, brick, probably half acre of land, you know. So.
But it's now they're leasing like small parcels to people.
Yeah, so
but they have to. I see some of them. They have to have fences around them.
Oh yeah.
Like a prison to keep the animals out.
Yeah.
But
a smaller plot is easier to fence than acres.
If I was younger, I'd probably. It's hard because he said work in a field 24 hours a day. You know, I used to try to by staying in a camper in Brecksville.
One time he had a generator, and he had an amber light. He put the amber light out in the middle of the field, and he'd start that generator up, and that thing was.
Hey, it worked pretty good for a while. You know, like a construction, it's like a fire or police rotating line with an amber lens.
Yeah.
And I had a little thing that I had you could move it around, and then I would run the cord from that to the generator.
Yeah.
And run it, and the thing would it throw a pretty good beam.
Yeah.
And it fooled them for quite a while.
Yeah, if you want to know what gas is better, Shell's the best. That generator ran the longest on Shell gas.
Yeah, it had, you know, maybe took a gallon of gas in the tank.
Something like that.
And I was putting Marathon gas in it. And when we, some a lot of times, she stayed in the camper with me over there. And it would run out of gas about maybe 5 in the morning.
Yeah, 5 in the morning.
For daylight. And one day when I was busy, I didn't get a chance to get up to that station, the Marathon, before they closed, I went to Shell. Put Shell in it. Next morning, the thing was still going at 7 o'clock. I told her, I says, well, you know, it's got to be some fluke of nature or something or whatever. Put it in the next day, run an hour or two longer on Shell gas, and it did the marathon. That's one of the interesting things.
So is there anything else I should have asked or that you want to say?
I can't think of anything.
No, I think we covered it pretty good. And I hope, you know, I give you some decent information here. It's true. I didn't make any of it up.
Yeah,
and,
well, we wouldn't do that.
If you ever go down 82.
If you head down there, there's a corn stand sitting down there. That's
ours. That's ours. And,
on the right-hand side if you're going west.
And we've been here. Most everybody knows where we're at.
Yeah.
And
we paid for three of our kids with that corn stand money.
Yeah. Yep.
My daughter's the only one that we ever had hospitalization for.
And
that's because we couldn't afford the hospitalization up until then. His dad gave him a raise.
I just have a few questions. If we could learn a little more from both of you about growing up in the Valley,
Oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. Marshall Estates was at the, where Greenwood is now. And I used to go up in there. I used to play in that woods. My brother and I and my sister would play in that woods. And they used to have statues. They were Marshall drugstores. So it was rich. And they had a garden of statues, nice big lake. And one time we were all up there and they had a big party. And we all sneaked up. And we were all three of us there, and we were looking at the party, and we didn't hear the guy behind us. He says, I don't think you kids belong here. So we booked out of there. But we used to slide down the hill with the leaves.
And, that's a big woods from...
Yeah, Marshall Woods.
The end of it is developed a little bit, very little, but from there all the way to Highland Road with a ski run. I don't know if you know where the ski run is in...
Brandywine.
Brandywine. It's a mile or so through there.
The towpath. I mean, we used to, my dad at that time, they had running boards on the cars. And when my dad came home from work, he worked for CEI. My brother and I would go up there by the corn cribs and we'd get on the running board. And I learned to swim in the Cauga River.
Now, that's how long ago.
That's how long
ago. Yeah, water was clean back then.
There was a sandy bottom. And that's where I learned to swim. I can remember that. And we would go down. Remember, we were married, and we would ice skate and play hockey on the canal. It would ice over, and my dad, who you wouldn't do it now, had a big barrel and tires he put in there, and that's how we kept warm.
But that's away from everything. I mean,
miles. It was down in the valley.
And it was a great place to live, and down there, and he was
until
away from
I got to be to the point where I wanted to get out of there and couldn't. My brother could ride out, my sister could drive out, and that being a teenager, I wasn't too happy then. But as a child, it was a good time.
But the road going back there wasn't very good
It
was ruts.
We were married. Oh my God!
It was muddy and
torrential rains. He borrowed his dad's brand new 53 Chevy, and we were going down to my mom and dad's to have dinner, and he had to back up and plow through mud like that. And we got down there, and his dad's car, the steam was coming up.
Brand new car.
Brand new Chevy. Oh, God.
But, I look back on it, I got no regrets.
You had to maintain your own road. He would get down to the creek with gravel and fill in the ruts, and there's many a time, I can remember one time when he would be jumping ruts and I was waiting for him to come home from work and he didn't come. Here he jumped and he was like this over the canal bank. One other time he lost a wheel that went into the river and he took his pants down to his skivvies and jumped into the river.
Swam out and got it.
Swam out and got the wheel, the tire. One time I was throwing a temper tantrum and I wanted to go with him and he wouldn't let me. He was going after bread. Well, it's a good thing I didn't because he went over the riverbank that time. But he
didn't go in the river.
Didn't go in the river, but he went over the bank. So, it was good times.
And I wouldn't do it any other way. I'm sitting here, always people say, if I did this or did that, but.
And we would shoot tin cans. We throw tin cans. That's how I learned to shoot. Throw tin cans up the river, and we plink at tin cans as they were coming down with a .22 rifle.
Yeah, you could do all
today.
Kinds of stuff like that. You could shoot. We had a good shooting range down there.
Yeah.
You couldn't hurt nothing. There was hills around all over. And
July 4th, while the one guy down the road, like, oh, my God, I'll never forget that. He had some dynamite caps, worked on the railroad. And the guy was drunk, and he passed out. And my dad had a rail from, the railroad. And he had a sledgehammer, and they were laying those things over, and they would let that thing drop, and it would hit, and it would go boom,
They were the things you put on the on the tracks for warning,
the
train people. And it would sound like a shotgun.
He had a T-shirt on, and there was burn marks all over his T-shirt because he had passed out near the and the other guy was running around with sticks of dynamite in his back pocket.
That's before I was down there.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That was when I was a kid.
But we had good times.
Good times.
And
in the valley, yeah, we had some very good times.
And
very good memories.
But I can't think of all of them here. We had so many good ones. And
we learned to row a boat in the canal.
And
also the river. That was good times.
But good soil to grow stuff in the river bottom. I mean, don't let nobody tell you that's not good ground.
That was.
I mean, it would.
I think
the corn had a real good flavor when you grew it down there.
Yeah.
And I remember that more than anything else.
Yeah.
And,
but we grew it 5 years, and three out of the five it flooded. So
it was just a bad stretch of them. But
even out today, they've had some problems. I know Soleil has had problems.
Yeah.
Flooding.
And but it's when you was grown down, you just had to expect it. And you just hope that,
I can remember getting wakened up in the middle of the night and sailing because we had a well. And my mom said, well, we better fill the water because the river's coming up fast. And we knew it was going to get in the well. And I can remember them having to walk. They would park their vehicles up at the farm. And they would be walking. Mom was working then, so was Dad. And they would walk up over the hill. And the other time they came up in a state body truck. It was high. And they
you had to do what
water.
You got to do, and it's good that they preserve most of it. And and like
but
I
there's
say,
certain areas that there would never be anything built.
No, there was places what you call floodplain, where there you could never ever build houses down there.
No, that's where we were.
Yeah, because you could never survive there, and it's worse today, I think, because of probably the building.
The parking areas. There's no place for the water to go.
Yeah. All these parking areas here, it shoots it out of here faster, that's what people say. I don't know. That's what engineers are saying, that you got so many paved parking lots, it gets out of there fast.
They want to take that one. There's a dam down there in the valley.
I don't think you're going to take it out.
I don't either.
It's under the Brexville Bridge.
Yeah, I don't think the park wants to take it out.
No. They don't want to take it out, and because they're getting water from that to run down the old canal to what's that next road down to Rockside or no?
Tinker's Creek and Rockside, and
they have that
clear
pass there. They have that park.
A visitor center.
Down
they
there.
They show how lots.
And it's a whole
thing
is on the canal, and.
Yeah.
American
Steel and Wire is what originally had that and would maintain that canal because it kept the steel cool, and they used that.
And
now the park's got it. And,
so it'll be there.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, I hope we give you some decent information. It's all true. I mean, we didn't make up any stories here or anything, and
we've had good times.
Oh, yeah. And
so have my kids.
Yeah. We can look. We talk about our kids every once in a while about it, that they enjoyed it. And I got good kids. And it's a, I don't know where the time goes, but hopefully we make it a few more years.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Well, I want to thank you very much.
Well, thank you.